I thought when I entered that city. My friends knew me well. They showed me all through heaven. The scenes are too numerous to tell. They showed me Abraham, Isaac, Mark, Luke, and Timothy. But I said,
Tyler. All right. Well, let's everybody turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 2. I was asked this morning for the seniors that were graduating, I was asked, what class do we promote them to? And I think we came up with like three different answers there. The limbo class, because they're always in between. Nobody gets my limbo class statement, do they? Adulting, and what was the other one? College and career, we got serious with that one. But yeah, that's, we're going to be losing several of our young people. In fact, we've already lost some, not because they just left us and they don't love us. It's just because they're going off to college. And so I know Olivia's going to be going down to Kentucky, and Tyler's going to be going to Maranatha. And she's going to be going up there soon and draining her parents' bank account. And who else is going to be? Rusty's going to be going back and to Ambassador. And then Madison's already left us for Carbondale because she got a job there. But I don't know if any of you have started taking bets as to how quickly she's going to return. But I've got 3 months because the Claytons all stick together, okay? Usually it's in Mount Auburn. They do allow Taylorville, you know, area, but usually they stick together. So I think she's going to, I'm praying she comes back. But there's several that's going their different ways. And praise God. God allows us to transition to different areas because he wants us to minister in those areas. Because there's going to be a family moving from us here very soon. In fact, we've already lost the dad down south. And has he already started drinking sweet tea? Yeah, is it sweet enough? He's probably transitioning into that whole thing. If it's not sweet enough, they do separate from you biblically. I'm just kidding. The Leonards are going to be moving down south soon, and we were heartbroken, but at the same time, we know that God's going to do a wonderful work with these people, and we're responsible for what He allows us to minister to them in the time frame that we have. Let's make the best of it so that God can take people and transition them to other areas to spread His kingdom. And so they can link up with other churches. We're not the only church out there. I don't know if you noticed that, but we're not the only church out there that we get to partner with and be excited with about what God is doing all throughout the world that He created. So please be praying for them, being promotion Sunday and graduation Sunday. Please be praying for each one of our kids as they grow up, as they grasp onto Him, as they start making their own decisions. No longer does my mom and dad make me go to church. I get to choose whether I go to church and be a part of it, be invested. So please be praying for them. So Titus chapter 2, we're going to be talking about, and please, don't get mad at me. You already see the title, and you're getting mad at me. I could see it. We're going to be talking about word-infused older women. You say, who do you classify as older? I'm not going there. But you see it in Scripture here. And you say, who is it? Well, okay, maybe I'll look the other way because my mic still works. Okay. They say in the commentary, so you can get mad at them, that when it goes from younger women to older women, it's usually around 40 to 50 years old. Okay, all right. But that's not something that's negative. I know. You know, people said to me, once you turn 30, it's all going to go downhill from there. Thanks. You're wonderful. God's given me another year, and I get to use it. I might be a little bit slower. I might hurt a lot more. But I get to use it for God, right? And God gives us commission here. You say, when are you going to talk about the men? I already did. I already talked about the older men several months ago, I think it's been. The last time the pastor let me preach for a morning service. And after this, he might make it a year. But we're going to be talking about the older women here, okay, today. And you say, well, I'm not an older woman, so I don't classify as that, so I'm not listening to you. Listen to me, please. There's biblical principles here that you'll be able to see whether you say you're just not going to classify yourself as that or not. It's good for you to be able to hear this and to be changed by the Word of God. This is countercultural living that we're seeing from Titus. And all based on the Word of God. So as you go into verse number 1 of chapter 2, verse number 1, we see here it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You say, you've already handled that. I understand that, but you've slept since then. So what's he saying? He's saying, Titus, when you speak, when you live out your life, make sure that the Word of God has affected everything that you do and say. Make sure that the Word of God is sprinkled or is affected, has make it contagious, and that the Word of God has affected you. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. When it's characterized by truth, the Word of God is truth that He's given us. That's what we preach to you, Pastor and I. We preach to you the Word of God because that's what makes the difference. If you want our world to change in a positive way, believe me, they need the Word of God. If you want our Christians to get right with God, they need the Word of God. That's it. They say, well, our public schools will fix them. You know how many philosophers and smart people, educated people, have stated that? You think it's worked yet? Maybe our welfare system will fix our country. Think it's fixed anything yet? I'm pretty sure it's made it worse. Maybe if we just continue to throw stimulus checks at people, maybe it'll fix our economy. You think that's going to fix our economy? You think it's going to fix our children? I see all these people think that they've got the best and brightest idea. But you know, the best idea, the best truth that you could ever come up with is right here. Why go searching for something different? If it works, don't change it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you can't fix the Word of God. So teach your children the Word of God. Well, the youth pastor will fix my children. I'm pretty sure it says in the Word of God that the parents are supposed to train up their children in the admonition of the Lord. And the youth pastor is there to help them out. You say, we don't have a youth pastor. Correctamente. So we're helpless, right? Because I'm the assistant pastor. Well, Barry will fix my child. I think I classified him as a grumpy old man today. He loves that term. It excuses everything that he's done. Pray for Michelle. She's tough. She's from Iowa. I understand that. But it's going to take a whole lot more than that. Believe me. But you know, Barry ain't going to fix your child. I'm not going to fix your child. The Word of God is going to be the best thing for your child. So please, please give them the Word of God. You say, well, you know, their parents don't give them the Word of God. Well, you know what? Those that come in on the bus every week, when we start that back up again, guess what? We get to act as their parents and jumping in and trying to affect them with the time that we have. If we only have 52 hours in a year, we'll take it. If we have 15 hours in a year, we'll take it. If we have 1 hour, we'll take it. Let's make it beneficial for them in a positive way. So as we get into this, he's saying, speak sound doctrine. Because when you have the truth of God's word affecting your mind, guess what happens? All of a sudden, that filter begins to affect your speech. What you say. The more of the word of God that you take in, it should affect what you say and how you live. How that works out. And folks, let's just be honest. We, I think, are the most Bible illiterate generation at this present time. You say, what about the time period when people couldn't even read the Bible? It was just the priest that just spoke to them. You know what? We've got the most Bibles out there. And we've got it so accessible to us. And yet how much dust does that Bible collect during the week? Does on your phone, as you go through and you're trying to make room for more pictures of your puppies or your children or your husband, and it says you must delete something in order to put more pictures on. You say, oh, well, I'm going to go through and it tells me how often I've used this app on my phone. If you don't understand what I'm saying here, it's okay. Just brace yourself. And then you look at the bottom of the list. Hardly ever used Bible app. Well, might as well delete that one and never use it anyway. Folks, we need the Word of God. And as that affects us, it moves on into verse 3. The aged women, likewise, because it's building off of verse 2 with the aged men, who he's called to be sober, to be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. He goes on, he says, likewise, building on that foundation, the aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, And even jump into verse 4, and you say, well, that's a totally different group. Yes, I understand that, but you need to understand how verse 3 connects to verse 4. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Well, that's pastor's job. That's their Sunday school teacher's job. I'm just not good at that. Did you see any of that in that scripture right there? All of a sudden, I've just limited you to, you don't have to teach the younger women because you just don't feel like it's your thing. Did you see that anywhere? I didn't. It all connects. And so as we jump into this, you say, well, what are these character traits that we really need to focus on and apply to our lives? The first one, reverent in behavior, that you find from verse 3. Reverent in behavior. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. You say, what does that mean? Now, let me just try to illustrate this. Okay, if this morning I came in and y'all started showing up for church, and I came in and I had tennis shoes that had about 50 different holes in them, and they're just kind of duct taped together, and I came in and shorts with paint all over them, and they're just kind of sagging there, you know, because I forgot my belt, and then I just got a t-shirt. You know the t-shirts where the guys, I'm not even sure why they even wear them, but you know where the guys cut that big old hole where it just a little bit of material down at the bottom, you know, like Josh does. There's just a little bit of material down at the bottom, so when they move, it shows everything anyway. So what's the point? Right? Have you ever seen? So what if I started wearing that to church services, okay? And I just wore that, and then I just kind of came in, and you could tell I just woke up, and was like, all right, guys, turn in your Bibles. Wait a minute, let me get out my sword of the Lord. I forgot my message today. Now, if you don't know that joke, I'm sorry. We get it in every week, and Pastor and I fight over who tries to get it to the other person the faster and say, hey, if you need your message this week, and we tape them to each other's doors and all that, we throw them underneath there, we sit it on, you know, it's a joke, you know, and the pastors were lazy, so they just look in the sword of the Lord for a message. But let's say that I just did that. Let's say that I walked in like that. How many of you would just walk right back out? I think I would. Because what have I come in to do today? I've come in to preach the Word of God. Amen. And I'm going to act like it. I need to hold myself in reverence to what I get to preach to you. Now, if that was all that I had as far as my clothes, and I wore that, and that's the best that I could do, praise God that you're here. But I have come in here, and there's just a thought process of, if you respect what you're doing. Let's say you go to McDonald's for lunch this afternoon, and you walk in, and there is food all over the person's shirt. And their hair is just like everywhere, and it's like, what would you like to order today? How many of you would walk right back out? I think my dad, when he worked at a McDonald's, there's this drunk guy that came in at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And you know what they did with his cheeseburger? Guess he's here, and he needs to go to the altar afterwards. They used it as a hockey puck. You know, on the floor, back and forth. How many of you would like to, now you're questioning whatever going over to his home as he, he's matured a lot since then. Yes, my father has matured. But what are you saying? What am I trying to get to you? Just a thought process of what we hold on to, and as we get to represent our God, we need to live like it. How many supposed Christians go around swearing like a sailor? Would you kiss your mother with that mouth? That's what I'd like to ask. How many Christians walk about in immorality and don't give a rip? Because I need to try this person out, you know, before I get married. I don't want it to mess up. So I'll go and shack up with this person. I'll go and shack up with that. Let's back up for a second. What does it say here? It says here that we should be reverent. It says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. We serve a holy God. So we should act like it, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? I want to represent Him. I am an ambassador of God. I get to carry the gospel. And if I'm carrying the gospel and I'm acting like the world, then that means that other people are seeing that and saying, they act just like me. What do I need that for? Don't you think that maybe some labeled Christians are the biggest hindrance to people coming to the gospel? Wasn't the number one excuse for people either walking away from the church or staying away from the church, is that because it's a house full of hypocrites? Now, I agree in this sense, that I don't come and gather with the church because I feel like I've got it all together. I come and gather with the church because I know I need each other. I know I need someone to push me towards God, to help me. I'm not a loner. I don't have to be a loner. God didn't create me to be a loner. I don't have to get through this life without all these other people, this church. God's gifted me this church to be able to come in and to help and to encourage and to push and to be pushed and challenged and to be confronted by. If I'm walking in the opposite direction than what God wants me to do, I mean, this is so important. I praise God for a church because I know that I still struggle and I need that encouragement. Do people go to the hospital if they're feeling perfectly fine? Some of you don't even go to the doctor when you feel like you're going to die. Well, they might tell me what I've got, and I don't want to know what I've got, because then if I know what I've got, then there's something wrong with me. So ignorance is bliss. Sure. Good job. Great reasoning. Who goes to the hospital? People that are sick. Who gathers with the church? People that realize that they need God. And so we're not all perfect people. None of us are perfect in here. If you feel that you're perfect, I hope this message wakes you up. This is why we preach the stuff, so that you could know how to be more Christ-like, to be more reverent in your behavior and your walk with God, that you become more holy just like Him, that you understand. What did He tell Moses? Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. I used to, have you ever, is any in here that, has, have you taken Taekwondo or karate or anything? You know what they do before they enter the arena? You know, they stop and they, you know, that type of a thing, or, you know, they do something weird, you know. They understand, what am I trying to tell you? They understand that at that point, there is a difference. They have come into a different place, and they're preparing themselves for what is to come. Now, when we become Christians, we need to understand at that point that we are called to live a reverent and holy life to our God. So something needs to change, doesn't it? So is this just for the older women? Well, this is for everybody. But he's challenging the older women here. He's challenging them, take this on, be reverent, hold yourself up. Listen, what's the biggest movement with the female gender right now? Okay, and I'm going to get in really big trouble. It's called feminism. Now, I believe that females are equal to male in how God loves them, cares for them, created them. They are not a lesser human being, folks. Get that right. Now, God's given us certain roles that he's challenged us with to hold on to live out, living for his name. Now, one of the things that, again, I love my mother, and if you try to say something bad against my mother, guess what? I'm going to have to take my pastor name and put it off to the side. Maybe I could just hold on to that because I think God expects us to be reverent to our mothers, right? I love my mother. I love my wife. I don't treat her like a slave. I don't do that. She's my wife. She's next to me. I don't walk in front of her unless I'm just going faster than her because I've got longer legs. Come on. Why do we need a refresher on this, right? But there is a movement out there where women feel like they have to dress up as their body parts and parade it around. That's just disrespectful. That's disgusting. That's rude. And it's not just for the female gender. If it was the males doing the same thing, stop. That's not even acting like a child. That's acting like an animal here. Okay? It's just there's no reverence here. There's no care for other people. Well, I got it, so I can flaunt it. Back up. That's why God's called us to love. And yes, we may be free, but we're free to love one another. So that means we're caring for one another. And if I'm flaunting all of this and being disrespectful and being rude and being disgusting about this, being hateful to one another, that's not representing the love of Jesus. That's not the freedom that I want. Free to love. Free to care. So this reverence is so important as we, if we are Christians, we need to reflect God. Going on to the next point. Man, I'm going to have to do a part two if I don't get going here. To the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. Not false accusers. Point number two, a lover of people. You say, wait a minute, that's not what it said there. It sort of did. It told you the negative, I gave you the positive. It's in this point where called a reverent in behavior and then also a lover of people because it says don't be a false accuser. You know that term there is given throughout the New Testament to describe Satan? He says don't act like Satan. Don't slander other people's reputation. Love people. Have you ever heard somebody slander someone else lately? Have you heard it in the church before? Have you ever heard of someone slandering someone else and yet you found out later that it wasn't true, but yet it affected your ability and your perspective of looking on that person? how do I create? Because this slandering of a reputation is almost like an addiction. Once you start, it's hard to stop, isn't it? You agree with me on that? It's hard to stop. So you start and you start complaining about this, and then you start complaining about that, and you start complaining about this, and pretty soon it's a spawn of the devil that you're talking about. I said, how did I get there? It's like an addiction. All of a sudden I start going negative, and I just keep going. It's this downhill slide. You say, how do you fix an addiction? You replace it with something good. You replace it with something that's positive, that's helpful, that's meaningful to you, and what God calls us to, instead of to slander someone else's reputation, God calls us to love them. My mom had this thing that she always told us to do as children. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense, and I was a bratty kid that just fought it anyway. But you know, we'd get in the car, and we'd start talking about this person, and man, see what they wore today, and man, you know, and talking about that person. And all of a sudden, she says, they sure are a good swimmer. And I turn around, Mom, what are you talking about? They're afraid of water. She says, that's not the point. I'm just trying to make up something good about them so you'll stop. Oh. Yeah. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and start complaining about someone else, and then you just turn around and said, hold on. I know that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's back it up for a moment. And you see all these things that's going on wrong with their life? Why don't you back up for a second? Say, what are you doing to encourage them towards Christ? What are you doing to love what may seem unlovable? How are you standing up? How are you going and exhorting them? All of a sudden, you went from complaining and cutting down to someone that's exhorting and coming alongside and being the church.
Amen.
Boom, there you go. That's it. A lover of people. You go on and it talks about, it's so important, because sometimes we just get so bitter about things we don't understand it. Somebody will bring it up and say, well, 37 years ago, this person said this. I don't even remember what happened yesterday, but you can remember 37 years ago when they looked at you wrong? Is it worth it? Is it worth living every moment of your life focusing on the bitterness? The answer is no, it's not. It's not worth it. So God has called us to be reverent in behavior, a lover of people, and consumed with Him. You say, where do you get that from? It goes on, it says, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Oh, here we go. Y'all ready for this? Not given to much wine. Now he's going to get up on his soapbox. Okay. I told this to Josh a week ago. I said, you know, I've never seen anybody drink alcohol and it benefit them in one way. I've seen a whole lot of alcohol destroy people. But Timothy, Paul said, Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Well, they used to use the wine to filter or to purify their water. So they'd have one part wine to three or four parts water, because they didn't have Brita, folks. So that's what they would use. Timothy, he's trying to abstain from any appearance of evil, goes out and just drinks the straight up water, and he starts to get sick. Guess what? Timothy says, Paul says, you got it. You got to put a little bit in there to purify that water. For your stomach's sake, you're going to get sick. You might die. Take care of it. Because so many people try to take that, well, Jesus made wine. So that excuses my social drinking. I got so many friends that are doing that. They just excuse themselves into it. It's like, why excuse into something that you know caused so much addictions? You know caused so many deaths? You know what? That accidents are down this year because nobody's getting out of their house because of coronavirus? Because they can't go drink at the bars? Does that tell you anything? Why excuse? Make an excuse to do something that could cause you to go wrong. And here's what he's saying. He says, don't be consumed with that. Don't be running towards something, because so many people use that to have fun or to satisfy themselves or to drown out the troubles of life. Have you ever had some overwhelming troubles in your life? Trials that I just don't know how to get out from underneath this. You feel like your big brother just tossed 10 mattresses on top of you and you can't find any air. So you run to something that just seems to relax you and toss all those things away. But you know, it never makes the problem go away. Do you ever notice that? See, some people fill it with wine. Other people fill it with drugs. Some people fill it with shopping. Some people fill it with 3 bowls of ice cream. Some people say, I don't drink, so that doesn't apply to me. I think the principle applies, folks. Because you might have one lady who's got 7,500 pairs of shoes in her closet and only wears one of them. Every time there's a problem, I gotta go shopping again. Oh, there's a buy one, get one free at Payless. I've already got that color, but who cares? Or guys, I need to go buy another gun. This one shoots a little different. I need to have some fun. Or buy another boat. Because the first one exploded. But anyway, what do? We try to fill our lives with all these things that are so distracting. Well, I need the new iPhone. It costs as much as my house payment for 3 months, but I need it. Because somehow it makes my life so much easier. No, it doesn't. You know how dumb a smartphone can be sometimes? Why won't you work? You say it says that it can do this. I get so frustrated because, you know, recording all the VBS and stuff and trying to, oh my goodness. All these things that we are consumed with that fill our lives. What's he saying? Don't be given to this. Be consumed with God. Next time you're in trouble, God, I need your grace today. Put somebody in my life today that can encourage me to go to keep walking down the path of righteousness. God, help me to say no to all this stuff. God, replace it. I know that you're satisfying, that you're enough. I know that you are everything to me in Christ alone. God, give me that the next time that you need to fill up with God. That's the answer. And I wouldn't mind putting out some of these taverns out of business in Taylorville. Raising up more churches. And helpful things. Dealing with some of the issues of our day and age. Have you know how many foster children are out there? They don't have parents. They're just, go put everything in a trash bag and go to your next house. Whenever everybody, you know, needs something, well, the government's going to fill my boat here. It's going to fix it. Just need another bill to be passed. Waiting for Congress. Fill yourself up with God. Last thing here. and I'll be quick. Multiplying good. It says here, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And it says that they may teach the young women. Say, what's that all about? It's coming in and trying to multiply the correct things. If you get frustrated with life, if you get frustrated with millennials eating Tide Pods, you know, the best thing to be able to do is to go and complain about it on Facebook and to say, what a worthless generation. How many millennials do we have in here? Just a few. They don't want to raise their hand because they just got called a worthless generation. In fact, I'm a millennial. Man, those you know how many times as a pastor I've heard, those millennials, they're worthless. They aren't any good. Man, they're just, all they do is, you know, sit at home and play their video games. And you realize you're talking to millennial folks? Made me really feel good. You know, the next time you see that there's drugs at Taylorville, complain about it. Next time that you realize that another slot machine place got opened up in Taylorville and then we're up to, what, 33 or whatever they've allowed, complain about it. You know, next time you see somebody crying out for abortion, complain about it. Next time you see another CHOP, complain about it. And if you don't know what CHOP is, you haven't been listening to the news lately. Good for you. You realize that complaining about it never fixed anything. And so that means that when those opportunities arise and they come before my eyes, and I see that a child is dealing with a drug addiction, what does that mean? It means that God has pulled this opportunity in front of me so that I could serve Him with it and to help them to reach in and show them the love. People, if you're a Jesus follower, you better get comfortable, because Jesus put out a hand for a prostitute, not to give her money for services, but to help her out of sin, not to enable it, but to help and to love and to teach the next generation. Stop complaining about the next generation and start teaching the next generation. Stop giving the TV in front, putting it in front of them and letting social media and TikTok and all these other things, Snapchat, whatever it might be their teacher, and you be their teacher. Me, I need to be their teacher. I need to jump in and be the change. Yes, be a part of other people's lives. Well, those younger ladies, they don't even know how to cook. I got it. Get out your phone, call them up and say, hey, I'm cooking an apple pie. I'm baking it. You want to come over? I'll teach you how. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. I mean, well, their children are unruly. Did you forget what children are like? They lick walls. They spit at people. They ask them embarrassing questions. So this guy came to our house, and Ken goes up to me and says, what's all over your arms? I mean, the guy was tatted all the way up his arm, and the guy just starts laughing. Well, those are tattoos. Why? Thanks, Ken. Why don't we just help them through the process? This is what God's called us to do. When the Word of God affects who we are and our thinking and our speech and our behavior, this is what happens. We actually have impact on every generation. We get to become the church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. And I know there's a lot here, and there, we could go on forever, God. We know that you've got so much in your word that we need to listen to, that we need to apply, that we need to uphold here, that we need to worship you with the way that you have given us opportunities. That's our worship. Help us to be reverent. Help us to be consumed with you, to be lovers of people, to multiply good. God, if there's someone here that's totally confused because they're not even saved, God, just help them to see that. Help them to see what it is that can change them, the gospel that can come in. God, that you sent your son to die for them so they could be changed, that they could have a new life. Help them to see that and grasp that and have faith in you. God, we're all here. The Christians here, we need your help. It doesn't matter what age. God, we need you. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As he plays the organ, go ahead and take this moment to pray.